Land. Section 3. Land Management and Conservation. As the human population grows, the resources of more rural land are needed to support the population. The main categories of rural land are farmland, rangeland, forest land, national and state parks, and wilderness. Throughout our history, we have sometimes managed these lands sustainably, so that they will provide resources indefinitely. We have also sometimes reduced their productivity by overusing or polluting them. The condition of rural land is important because of the ecological services that it provides. These services are especially important for the urban areas that rely on the productivity of rural land. Farmlands. Farmland, such as that shown in Figure 12, is land that is used to grow crops and fruit. The United States contains more than 100 million hectares of prime farmland. However, in some places, urban development threatens some of the most productive farmland. Examples of places where farmland is threatened are parts of North Carolina's Piedmont region and the Twin Cities area of Minnesota. In 1996, the U.S. government established a National Farmland Protection Program to help state, county, and local governments protect farmland in danger of being paved over or otherwise developed. Rangelands. Land that supports different vegetation types like grasslands, shrublands, and deserts, and that is not used for farming or timber production, is called rangeland. Rangelands can be arid, like rangelands in the desert southwest, or relatively wet, like the rangelands of Florida. The most common human use of rangeland is for the grazing of livestock, as shown in Figure 13. The most common livestock are cattle, sheep, and goats, which are valued for their meat, milk, wool, and hides. Native wildlife species also graze these lands. Like farmland, rangeland is essential for maintaining the world's food supply. World population growth may require a 40% increase in the food production of rangeland from 1977 to 2030. Problems on the range. Some rangelands in the United States have become degraded by poor land management strategies. Most damage to rangeland comes from overgrazing or allowing more animals to graze in an area than the range can support. When animals overgraze, too many of the plants are eaten and the land can become degraded. Overgrazing often results in changes in the plant community. Less desirable plant species may invade the area and replace more desirable plant species. In severe cases, all the vegetation is eaten. Once the plants are gone, there is nothing to keep the soil from eroding. Maintaining the range. Much of the rangeland in the United States is public land managed by the federal government, which leases the rangeland to ranchers. Much of it is degraded. The Public Rangelands Improvement Act of 1978 was enacted to reverse this trend and improve land management practices. Sustaining the productivity of rangeland generally means reducing overgrazing by limiting herds to sizes that do not degrade the land. Rangeland may also be left unused for periods of time so that the vegetation can recover. Improving rangeland that has been degraded by overgrazing often includes methods such as killing invasive plants, planting native vegetation, and fencing areas to let them recover to the state they were in before they were overgrazed. As well, ranchers control grazing by digging several small water holes so that livestock do not overgraze the vegetation around a single water hole. Forest lands. Trees are harvested to provide products we use every day, such as paper, furniture, and lumber and plywood for our homes. In addition to wood and paper, we value forest products such as maple syrup and turpentine. There are many ecosystem services provided by forests. However, one of the most important is the removal of CO2 from the air. Harvesting trees. people use enormous amounts of wood. The worldwide average is 1,800 cubic centimeters of wood used per person each day. However, on average, each person in the United States uses about 3.5 times this amount. This is the equivalent of each person in the United States cutting down a tree that is 30 meters tall every year. About 1.5 billion people in developing countries depend on firewood as their main source of fuel. The timber industry classifies forest lands into three categories: virgin forest, which is forest that has never been cut, native forest, which is forest that is planted and managed, and tree farms, which are areas where trees are planted in rows and harvested like other crops. The two most widely used methods of harvesting trees are clear cutting and selective cutting. These methods are shown in Figure 14. Clear cutting is the process of removing all of the trees from an area of land. Clear cutting large areas destroys established wildlife habitat and may cause soil erosion. The main alternative is selective cutting, which is usually practiced on smaller areas owned by individuals. Selective cutting is the process of cutting and removing only middle-aged or mature trees. Selective cutting is more expensive than clear cutting, but selective cutting is usually much less destructive. Deforestation. The clearing of trees from an area without replacing them is called deforestation. Most countries become severely deforested as populations expand and the demand for forest products increases. Forests are cleared to convert the land into farmland. People also clear forests to make space for roads, homes, factories, and office buildings. Deforestation reduces wildlife habitat, but it has other impacts too. For example, when forests are cleared from a hillside, soil erosion usually results if the area is not quickly planted with a cover crop. Without tree roots to hold the soil in place, soil is easily washed or blown into the valley below. In New York, forests on hillsides were cleared for farmland during the 19th century. Plowing also increased the rate of erosion, and as much as 90% of the soil eroded. Then, during the Great Depression, which was in the 1930s, hundreds of farmers in this area went bankrupt. The state bought many of the abandoned farms and let the forests regenerate. Today, many of the hillsides are covered with state forest, which is used for recreation. The rate of deforestation is especially high in tropical rainforests, where the soil is relatively thin. Farmers who clear forests in these areas must always move from one plot of land to another and clear more forest each time they move. Whether forests are cleared for farming or wood, if trees are not replanted, natural resources are steadily depleted. Reforestation. Clear-cut forest can be replanted or allowed to regrow naturally without human intervention. Reforestation is the process by which trees are planted to re-establish trees that have been cut down in a forest land. In some places, reforestation is happening faster than trees are being cut down. New England, for example, now contains more forest than it did a century ago. Much of the original forest had been cleared for farming, but the land was unable to sustain productive crops over a long period. As farming in this area became less economical, farms were abandoned and the forest regenerated. The same process has happened in places where steep hillsides were deforested for farming or development. The cost of deforestation, which caused soil erosion, landslides, and flooding, was too high. So forest has now been allowed to regenerate or has been replanted. Some governments require reforestation after timber has been harvested from public land. A reforestation project is shown in Figure 15. Worldwide, more than 90% of all timber comes from forests that are not managed by an agency that monitors the health of forest ecosystems. Many governments are currently working to improve reforestation efforts and to promote less destructive logging methods. Private organizations have also established tree planting programs on roadsides and in cities. Parks and Preserves. In the 1870s, a group of explorers brought news to Congress of a magnificent expanse of land in Wyoming and Montana. The explorers expressed their concern that the land would be damaged by the development that had changed the northeastern United States. Congress agreed to protect the land, and the first national park, Yellowstone, was created. Today, the United States has about 50 national parks, as shown in Figure 16. Public lands in the United States have many purposes. Most public lands are not as protected as the national parks are. Some public lands are leased to private companies for logging, mining, and ranching. Other public lands are maintained for hunting and fishing, as wildlife refuges, or for protecting endangered species. International efforts include the United Nations Man and the Biosphere Program. This program has set up several hundred preserves throughout the world since 1976. These preserves are called biosphere reserves and are unusual in that they include people in the management plan of the reserves, as shown in Figure 17. Wilderness. The U.S. Wilderness Act, which was passed in 1964, designated certain lands as wilderness areas. Wilderness is an area in which the land and the ecosystems it supports are protected from all exploitation. So far, 474 regions covering almost 13 million hectares, or 32 million acres, have been designated as wilderness in the United States. Figure 18 shows an example of a wilderness area. Wilderness areas are open to hiking, fishing, boating without motors, and camping. Building roads or structures and using motorized equipment are not allowed in these areas. Benefits of protected areas. Without national and private parks and preserves around the world, many more species would now be extinct. In a crowded world, these protected areas often provide the only place where unspoiled forests, deserts, or prairies remain. Without these areas, the plants and animals that can survive only in these ecosystems would disappear. These protected areas also provide recreation for people. People can camp, hike, fish, and watch birds and other wildlife in these areas. Wilderness areas also serve as outdoor classrooms and research laboratories where people can learn more about the natural world. Threats to protected areas. There is a constant battle in our world between our conservation efforts and the growing and increasingly mobile population. Around the world, more people visit national parks and wilderness areas each year and leave their mark on the land. Litter and traffic jams that have plagued our cities now plague many of our national parks. Rangelands, mining and logging sites, oil and gas drilling operations, factories, power plants, and urban areas are often close enough to the parks to affect the parks. In addition, preserved areas are affected by climate change and by air and water pollution, as are most other parts of the world. In attempts to protect wilderness from damage, limits have been set on the number of people permitted in some areas at any given time. Other areas are completely closed to visitors to allow wild animals to breed. In addition, volunteer programs are now active in many wilderness areas. Volunteers help pick up trash, build trails, control invading or exotic species, and educate the visiting public. You've reached the end of this chapter. Before moving on, review the main points of the section by reading the summary. Then take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the review questions. Your teacher may want you to apply your knowledge by completing the lab exercise on the following pages. The chapter review and standardized test preparation will give you additional practice using what you've learned.